Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It could have been a momentum-changing play, but Steve Kerr stuck with him. And Draymond, you know, didn't get on him but encouraged him. I mean, that was one of the big storylines coming out of the game last night. You know, Quinn Cook, mention him, 3-for-4. Jarebko winds up 1-for-2. So you just, I mean, you look at that and you add it up and it's just, it's 6-for-7 and it's 8-for-10 and it's 13, it's 13-for-15. I mean, it's real. I mean, you're talking about bench players that are, you know, putting an imprint on a game and they're scoring, which is the most important thing, but they're also scoring in a manner where it's not taking away from the other guys that are on the floor, or the other guys that, you know, the defense would be happy to let attempt to beat them.
Right. No, that's a great call. Yeah, combined, the bench went 15 of 21 last night for 33 points. Just absolutely incredible. And just, you know, whatever, strength in numbers. I mean, they talked about it last night. I know it's kind of an old cliche, but there's a reason why they're cliches, because they're true, JD. John Dickinson joining us from up in Portland. Nice enough to join us for a couple of segments. So the Warriors are going to have some media availability a little bit later on today. Is that right, JD?
Yeah, Steve Kerr's going to meet with everybody at the team hotel, and so I'm going to roll over there after I'm done with you, and that's going to be coming up next hour. It'll be Kerr. I think Curry and Draymond Green are all going to speak today. No formal practice or anything like that. Just kind of a film session for those guys at the team hotel as they get ready for Game 4 and try and put the sweep down on the Blazers. In the worst case scenario now is come back and maybe win at Oracle in Game 5. And either way you look at it, as long as the Warriors get one of the next two, they're going to be in a spot where they're going to have over a week to prepare for either the Bucks or the Raptors. Obviously, it looks more like the Bucks, but the Raptors haven't played a home game yet in that right. Eastern Conference Finals, so I'm gonna slow my roll a little bit on that one.
Yeah, and we'll know a lot more about where that series is headed after the game today. And you know, you'd expect Toronto to play a lot better at home, but damn, you got to tip your cap to Milwaukee. So Andre Iguodala is going to get an MRI today, correct?
Yeah, and we should get some kind of update about that, you know, either when Steve Kerr speaks or maybe a little bit later. But, yeah, I don't think we're going to see Iguodala again tomorrow night for sure. I mean, we'll see. I would be shocked if he played tomorrow night or a Game 5, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you start getting into Game 6s if Portland somehow wins a game, and then we're talking about, okay, it's about a week away. You know, maybe at that point, but I'm just going to put the rat on the table. I would be stunned if we see Iguodala again before the finals.
Are you going into your guru bag of tricks there, putting the rat on the table?
Oh yeah, always. The rat on the table, and cause the Warriors are always cautious with Iguodala.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, when you hear MRI, that means that, you know, they're concerned that it could be something a little bit more significant. You know, there's at least, you know, a belief that it might be. And that in and of itself, just when you look at the every other day nature of this series and the fact that the Warriors have control of this series now up 3-0, there's no need to play Iguodala tomorrow, and there really probably isn't a need to play him on Wednesday, even if you lose the game tomorrow.
All right, I know it's quibbling a bit, and, you know, I had a texture get on me a little bit earlier about coming down on Damian Jones. But, I mean, you know, the stat line was what it was. He didn't play good last night, and, you know, Steve Kerr started him, and I know he's coming back off an injury, so you don't want to rake the guy over the coals. But that experiment didn't go very well.
It didn't, and I actually put that on Kerr. I mean,
me
why,
too.
Why
that's
would you
that's
put,
what I
why,
told the texter. It's on Kerr. Why'd you start him?
Yeah. Yeah, like, why would you put him in that position? I mean, yeah, and he didn't play well, but, you know, first start since December 1st. I mean, in a raucous, desperate, hostile environment against a team in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, I get trying to spread the minutes around and trying to save some of Kevon Looney's minutes, trying to save some of Jordan Bell's minutes, but when you look at the way Damian Jones played, it's like, well, why not just play Bogut for a couple of minutes and then pull him out and put Looney in, or pull him out and put Bell in, or just start Jordan Bell at that point? Now, I get, you know, Steve Kerr not wanting to maybe expose Jordan Bell to certain things because he knows Jordan Bell is somebody that he may need more in this series. So I think, you know, it's all about when guys play. And I thought the Blazers made a nice lineup adjustment. They started Myers Leonard at center, which obviously had the opposite effect that, that Kerr starting Damian Jones had. But it also put Enes Kanter into the second quarter lineup where Kanter was coming in against the Warriors reserves. He didn't have to worry about Curry pick and roll because Curry's not in the game at the beginning of the second quarter.
Good
so
ball.
It was easier for him to be out there defensively, and it put him in a spot where he was going to be working against a smaller body, and he got rolling a little bit, and I thought was an impactful part of that game. So it's all about when you play and adjustments in that nature to the rotation. So there was something maybe where Kerr didn't want to start Bell because maybe he didn't want to give the Blazers starting unit maybe a look at him or expose him in certain ways. So he might have been trying to protect him, but he did Damian Jones absolutely no favors last night. So, I kind of put that one on Kerr as much as Jones didn't play well.
Yeah, and is that Kerr, I mean, the rationale there, the logic behind that is just trying to get the guy going and, you know, I guess in a sense reward him for working his tail off to get back in the lineup?
No, I think it's, honestly, I just think it was more about the other, like, setting up the minutes that he wanted other players to play.
Okay.
I really, and also put Damian Jones out there with the best players on the Warriors team, too.
Okay. I mean, well, I think why not Bogut then?
Well, that's a great question.
Ask him that
to me. You should have rolled with Bogut. I mean, that's one of those. Yeah, that's one of those storylines that kind of go by the wayside when you win that
game.
Sure,
yeah, of course.
It becomes a very small it was to me that was something that could have been. I mean, Kerr would have been highly questioned if the Warriors wind up losing that game. Like, why'd you do that? You kind of gave Portland a window to maybe get some confidence, get an early lead, get back into the series. I mean, the three fouls that Damian Jones had in the three-plus minutes put Portland, you know, in the penalty in that first quarter, which was, you know, key to them continuing to be able to score and build the lead that they had. But the Warriors had made up most of it by the end of the frame anyway, and it wound up not costing them. I mean, it looked like the Blazers were going to be up 10 or 12 at the end of the first quarter. They were up 2 at the end of the first quarter. So, yeah, I think Bogut would have made a lot more sense, and he wound up starting Jordan Bell in the second half, and you know where he goes from here remains to be seen. But yeah, I think that was I think it was more about scheduling the other minutes than anything maybe Damian Jones specific, although playing him with the other, you know, Iguodalas and Currys and Clays and Draymonds is in theory putting him in a better position to succeed.
All right. John Dickinson joining us from Portland. We'll take a quick break on 95.7 The Game. We'll come back. We'll have more with JD. We'll talk a little Kevon Looney. And I gotta talk to you about Daryl Morey's tweets, too. So we'll get into all that coming up. John Dickinson from Portland. It's Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, what's happening, everybody? Just hanging out on a Sunday morning. Ryan Covey with you. Golden State Warriors just one game away from their fifth straight trip to the NBA Finals. And last night it was vintage Draymond Green, Steph Curry at it again, scoring 36 points. And the bench coming correct, dare I say, strength in numbers. One more time, I was talking to Dieter about Kevon Looney, and we hit on him a little bit last segment. But, I mean, this guy, you know, he's going to be a free agent after this season. And we know, JD, that Bob Myers has got a lot of work to do, you know, this offseason with, you know, Durant and Clay and DeMarcus and want to maybe overhaul the bench a little bit. But Kevon Looney, you know, he's got to be a priority, right?
There's no doubt he's a priority, and the one thing that surprised me last year, and it would surprise me even more this year, is if you're the rest of the league, and even if you believe Kevon Looney on your team may not be the Kevon Looney that we see playing with this Warriors team, But if I'm a Nedler general manager, or if I'm the friend of another general manager, let's say I'm the GM of the Nets, and I'm a friend, or I'm the GM of the I'm Daryl Morey. Let's just say I'm Daryl Morey, and I'm friends with the GM of the Nets, right, or the Hornets. Okay, I'm begging that guy as my friend of a team that has cap space to go sign Kevon Looney, just because it's better for the league to take something of value away from the Golden State Warriors. I mean, it's remarkable to me that there isn't a team out there that wouldn't overpay Kevon Looney a little bit just to have it mess with the competitive balance of the Warriors. But that's been another way where they've been, you know, fortunate, is that they've been able to keep the players that they want to keep, you know, Sean Livingston, Iguodala, veteran players, but even Kevon Looney, who they, you know, they made a mistake on, you know, in terms of not picking up an extra year option, but they wound up being able to keep him, and now are in a better position to keep him than they would have been, let's say, a year ago at this time, or are they? Because you would think that his value would be, you know, just out there for everybody to see now, to where teams would at least want to, at a minimum, take him away from the Golden State Warriors. And to your point about Bob Myers, I mean, Durant is obviously priority one, and then you have to sign Klay Thompson. Then you have DeMarcus Cousins, and what happens with that. But you also have Draymond Green as somebody that isn't a free agent this summer but is going to be a free agent the next summer. You almost have to get with Draymond and his people and just see where he's at. Would he be open to doing an extension? Does he want to play it out? You know, is he telling you, I'm hell-bent on being a max player, or I don't want to come back here? I mean, it's a tricky, tricky summer, and then that's before you get into what does Livingston do? What does Iguodala do? You got to keep Kevon Looney. So, it, you know, this offseason, as much as any, is going to be critical to whether the Warriors can kind of keep this thing rolling for a couple of more years.
Yeah, and Bob Myers definitely going to be earning his paycheck this summer, to say the very least. And I think, you know, just let's get into that for a moment, JD. I mean, you know, the Kevin Durant deal, I think that's independent of everything else. It's going to be a matter of, okay, here's the offer for the Supermax. He's either going to take it or not. I don't think that there's really anything else to even discuss around that. I mean, maybe, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's really how that conversation's going to go. Here's the Supermax offer. Would you like to stay a member of the Golden State Warriors? The Klay thing, to me, I don't know if they can afford to split hairs with that. And I know the Warriors can offer him, what, the extra year? Correct me if I'm wrong, JD, but they can offer him the extra year, and it, which would in turn be a little more money for him, right?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's the extra year, and it's full max. I mean, that's it. I mean, and that's been reported, and I don't, you know, it's been reported that if the Warriors don't offer him the full max, then he's going to at least listen to offers elsewhere. And to, you know, and it, the way it's been framed is almost as if Klay would view that as a form of disrespect for everything that he's brought to this team and the championship pedigree and everything that he would continue to bring, obviously, for the next four or five seasons, should he re-sign. So I get 100% where Clay's coming from. And yeah, you say split hairs. Like, if I'm Klay Thompson and the Warriors don't offer me a full five-year max, I'm ticked.
Right.
In fact, I'm so ticked that I'm like, okay, you know what? I will go to the Clippers. I will go team up with whoever. And I'll beat you guys. So no, to me, that is as much as you offer Kevin Durant whatever the hell Kevin Durant wants, you offer Klay Thompson the full max and you don't bat an eye, and that's just the cost of doing business.
Right, and that's just what it means to keep this together. Dynasties have a price tag attached to them, and keeping these guys together, they've absolutely earned it as well. And you know, the DeMarcus Cousins contractual situation is the Warriors can offer him, what, 120% raise, and that's it. I think, you know, which would be like 6.2, 6.3, something like that, JD?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, we'll see where DeMarcus is at with that. I don't think Cousins is going to end up coming back.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't. But we'll see. I mean, you know, is there a scenario where he can get more elsewhere? Probably. Is it significantly more to where he wouldn't want to consider, you know, coming back? You know, it's like, at what price is it better for him to come back? You know what I mean? Right. How much more does that offer have to be from another team to where he's like, nah, you know what? I might want to run this back and play for the Warriors one more year at that, you know, at that 120% increase. But I also think, you know, I also think the Warriors are in a position where, you know, do they want him back? I mean, I think they have to look at it too. You know, do they want to do that again this year? With, you know, or do they want to maybe spend that money when you start talking about, you know, needing to spend money in different areas? You know, I don't necessarily believe that it's a 100% foregone conclusion that they would fully want him back. And that's not to say that they would look him in the eye and tell him that necessarily, but I also think it would be, you know, DeMarcus, you know, go get yours, man. Go
right.
Get yours. I think that might be how, you know, yeah, go get yours and, you know, we'll talk to you, you know, if it becomes a conversation where we can, you know, be in play for your services. But I think the belief would be at that point that, you know, let him go try and find it. And then, you know, if there's one guy among that group you got to take, you know, off the table, I think DeMarcus would be the guy they would take off the table.
Yeah, and look, if somebody around the NBA wants to pay DeMarcus, you know, in excess of like $10 million a year or something, like you said, you wish him well. And, you know, if he can come back and, you know, play in the finals and win a title for DeMarcus, I think it'll be mission accomplished. And, you know, you give him all the credit in the world for coming back off two debilitating injuries. But for any would-be GM out there, you'd have to look at his recent injury history. And I think that would be a huge part of the consideration of how much and how long you'd be willing to pay him, which all this contractual talk kind of leads me up to the Draymond Green conversation. We know he's under contract for one more year. We know he signed with Clutch Sports. He will, in if Curry, you know, Curry already signed his max. If KD signs a super max and then Draymond, or excuse me, and then Clay gets his money and, you know, Draymond sits there and watches all these guys get paid, knowing what he means to this team on both ends of the floor, it would be hard if you're Draymond Green to swallow anything less than every penny you can squeeze out of Joe Lacob too, right?
Well, look at it under the context of, you know, Stephen Curry's already making 40.
Right.
If Durant comes back, it's 40 plus. Clay's going to get his max deal. I mean, Draymond Green will be making half as much as the other three guys just for next year. And you know, you got to wonder if that is something that would, you know, like you're saying, if that was something that would make him be like, well, it's time for me to get mine, damn it. But no, I think he's playing himself into a similar position as to where Clay Thompson is, because I think there was a belief that whether it was injuries or weight or just getting a little bit older, that maybe Draymond Green was declining to a point where he might not be worth the max. Well, if he got himself in shape and he's playing at this level now, and let's say he has a contract year next year playing close to this level, and look, Draymond Green is a smart dude. Draymond Green knows that he's got to, for next season, come in and be in the best shape of his life, and it, because this is his one more big contract that's coming up. So I think he's trying to put himself in a position like where Clay is, where it's, okay, if you don't want to offer me the max, well, somebody else is, and I'm out at that point. So we'll play it out. We'll try and win another ring. I love it here. You know, I'm looking for places in the city with my fiance, you know, as has been the case, you know, when he did that tour of Chase Center. I mean, he was there with his fiance, and they were talking about, you know, looking for places and whether they liked, you know, the condo style or wanted to try and find a, you know, something more spacious and maybe a little bit of a different area. So they're all in on trying to, you know, wanting to be in the Bay. I mean, that's, you know, one of the interesting things that kind of came out of that is he wants to be in the Bay. But again, it's about the proper amount of respect, you know, in terms of the contract. And if he's going to play close to this level next year and be healthy and not look like he's declining, he could easily go in and say, I'm a max or I'm out.
Right. John Dickinson joining us from up in Portland. It's Ryan Covey with you on 95.7 The Game. Game 4 tomorrow as the Warriors go for the sweep up in Portland. I want to run this by you. This is something I was thinking about. With Kevin Durant being out and the way the Warriors have picked up the slack and carried on in his absence and continued to win. You know, if this would have happened when he was in OKC, he gets hurt in a playoff series, guess what? Their season's over because the rest of the guys aren't going to be able to, you know, pull it together and win a tough playoff series against a team like the Houston Rockets. But this Warriors team, they're cut from a different cloth. And if you're Kevin Durant, you're sitting at home watching this, you're kind of getting that bird's eye view now, you know, and seeing how these guys have rallied around each other and seeing that, oh yeah, it's not all on me to win here. Look at these guys winning without me. I think that if you're KD, that even helps remind you just what a special thing that the Warriors have going here, and that damn, I'm just one of the guys, which, you know, I think that the way KD's wired, I don't think that's the worst thing ever. I know a lot of people think that KD wants to be regarded as the greatest player in the world and wants his own team. I think Kevin Durant just wants to enjoy where he plays basketball and enjoy doing it. And to see this team pick up the slack the way they have, I think ultimately that helps the Warriors' cause in maybe enticing him to come back.
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, that's where only Kevin Durant knows. And I know we all try to get inside his head and what's he thinking and what's important to him. And I don't think anybody knows. And I go back to the fact that I don't think that he fully knows at this point still what he's going to ultimately do.
Really?
I mean, I see it both ways. I really do. I could see him saying, you know, sitting at home thinking, these guys don't even need me, man. Like, you know, and not even in a malicious way or in a way where he's offended by it or something like that, but just in a way of, you know what, I'm going to go do something that challenges me in a different way. Because if I'm running with these guys, there's no chance we're going to lose. You know, and they might not lose anyway. So I think he's extremely self-aware and reads the room. And if he doesn't, he has people that do it for him and tell him, you know, things that are going on. Sure. There's a lot of that with Kevin Durant. But look, I do think it is at the end of the day about basketball and what makes him happy. And I just think he's kind of an indecisive dude. Like he might think one thing one day, he might think another thing another day, and we'll see when you add it all up on July 1st. But it's hard for me to sit here and try and get in his head and know what he, you know, he may be sitting at home thinking, you know what, everybody thinks I'm leaving and I know I'm staying. You know what I mean? That wouldn't surprise me. He may be thinking, you know what, the Knicks, that'd be a great opportunity. But he also may just have tunnel vision and be thinking about, I want to finish this season and win a championship and let's see how it ends. And we'll see how I feel on July 1st and go from there. I'm kind of done. Although we do it every day because it's part of the job. I'm kind of done trying to figure out what's in Kevin Durant's head.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I just think, you know, based on what we've seen the last week with these guys stepping up the way they have, I thought it was kind of a new layer to all of this because I think
it definitely is a layer. I just don't know whether he's more inclined to stay or go. You know what I mean?
It's
100% a layer.
All right. Yeah. Just another chapter in the book, John Dickinson.
Everything matters. We talked about this yesterday in Warriors this week. Like everything that has happened this season, that happens in this series, that happens next week, that happens, you know, in the finals, like the way this thing ends for the Warriors, whether Durant comes back and they win, Durant comes back and he's a finals MVP again, Durant doesn't come back and the Warriors win, Durant doesn't come back and the Warriors lose, let's say to Milwaukee, Durant comes back and the Warriors lose to Milwaukee. I mean, like, you can go, but every one of these things. And you're right, it is hilarious to try and like list them all, but every one of these things could lead to a different outcome.
Sure.
It all matters at this point. How it looks a month from now is what will ultimately be the determining factor, not how it looked over the last couple of days.
Yeah, no, good call. It's like it reminds me of one of those choose your own adventure books. I don't know if you ever read those when you were a kid, and you know, you can go a lot of different ways, and I always ended up like, you know, getting killed in a dark tunnel somewhere. So that was all how my story always ended. Hey, I want to ask you about the Daryl Morey tweets. And I mean, this dude, first of all, if you missed it, Daryl Morey tweeted out versus the Warriors in the playoffs the last 3 years, Houston 5-8, the rest of the NBA 5-34. Well, first of all, it's not just been the last 3 years. You've actually played the Warriors 4 times in 5 years, and the other 2 times, you won a game. So you lost in the conference finals the first year, you lost 4-1 the next year. So actually, truth be told, they're 7-16 the last 5 years against the Golden State Warriors. So lest we forget that, Daryl Morey. I just like, what's this guy thinking? I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I think what he's thinking is, hey, we take heat for not being able to get it done, and we've come closer than anybody to getting it done. And I think the last 3 years is just the fact that
that's current incarnation.
It's just Durant. Yeah, I mean, I think any stat you can pick a starting point, or an end point to it. But I think it's just the Durant era Warriors where they've been, you know, so dominant and nobody's been able to beat them. Because, I mean, Cleveland did beat them in 2016, and that was kind of the end of that team. And then 16-17 became a new incarnation of the team. But I just think it's him taken up for some of the heat that the Rockets take for how they went out and how they lost. And I think he's saying, look, these guys are great. We haven't been able to beat them, but we've been a hell of a lot closer than anybody else these last couple of years. So let's not act like we're trash, I'm trash, our players are trash. You know, like I kind of get that in a way. Now, is it the best look to put it out the way that he does? Maybe not, but I actually don't have a problem with it, to be real honest. I mean, I know that's fun to – it's fun to throw around and say, well, what the hell are you doing? And I get it. But on the other hand, I kind of get where he's coming from because his guys get crushed and he's thinking – you know, while the Blazers, and I'll just use them as an example, while the Blazers get respected, and the Blazers haven't won a freaking game against them at all. You know, it's almost like, but the Blazers have this, whoa, the Blazers play them tough. Well, the Blazers haven't won once.
Right. No, you make a good point. You do.
I haven't beat them once. Like, that would kind of piss me off if I was Daryl Morey, because just the way that it's taught, you know, LeBron James beat them once in the last, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I could see Morey sitting at home with a glass of wine, looking over the numbers and thinking, yeah, what the hell, man? Like, like we're five times closer to beating this team than Portland is. And everybody talks about Portland like they're the greatest competition this team's ever seen.
No, you make some great points. And that brings a really nice layer of perspective in all this. But I just feel like, I think we all knew that Houston was the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors. I don't think that's breaking news. I think everybody understood that. And yet every time this team has had that moment in time where it looked like, damn, this might happen. They were up 3-2 last year. Kevin Durant got hurt this year. And when the rubber met the road and it was crunch time and it was time to actually finish them off, his guys came up short. You culminate that with the unlikability of guys like Harden and Paul, in the way they play, the way Paul flops around. Harden's just ugly style to watch at times. And I know he's a great player. I'll give him that. But, and then there, you know, there's this kind of lack of accountability, like him coming out with the official report of the 81 missed calls at the start of this season from a playoff series a year ago. It just seems like a lot of chirping for a guy that hadn't won a damn thing.
Yeah, no, but again, to his point, he's won a hell of a lot more than anybody else has against this team, and I get it. You haven't beat him, but I don't think he's even saying, like, he's in that he's acknowledging that the Warriors are better. You know what I mean? It's not like he's saying, well, we would have done this or we should have done that, or you know, I think he's just saying we are closer to beating this team and have been closer to beating this team than anybody else. And I don't know, okay, does he want some respect for that? Okay, I mean, who cares about that? I'm kind of with you on that from that perspective. But I just think, I mean, the facts are the facts. And I think, I get where he's coming from on that. Mm-hmm. And I understand Warriors fans don't like the Rockets. Warriors fans don't like Morey. Warriors fans don't like Chris Paul. Warriors fans don't like James Harden. I get it. It's the fan rivalry aspect of it. But again, from just a pure basketball wins and losses standpoint, and trying to put myself in his shoes, it would actually kind of tick me off too that you know, my squad, you know, gets so much heat when they've been the team that's actually played the Warriors you know, tougher than anybody and tougher than anybody without it really being close.
Yeah. Quit being so mature, JD. I like to just be, you know, totally emotional and all this and not actually substantiate
okay.
with any facts.
That's good balance. That's
no, 100%, 100%. Hey, in the fourth quarter last night, there was a group out there. Kevon Looney, Jonas Jerebko, Clay was out there as, quote, the scorer, Quinn Cook, and Sean Livingston. And they had that really nice push. Cook hit a couple of shots, and I noticed that Stotts called a timeout, and then out of the TV timeout, Kerr kept with that group. And I thought that was so profound because, you know, Curry and Draymond got a little extra rest for the final 5 minutes. And it was just there was just this real feeling of it's an all-hands-on-deck situation. They had smothered them defensively, and I almost felt like, you know, the Jarebkos of the world and the Quinn Cooks who have been, you know, spending a lot of time sitting there watching what Draymond's done this series, what Steph's done, and it was kind of their time to pick him up. And I'll even throw Alphonso McKinney. I know he wasn't in that group, but when Iguodala went out, I mean, I thought Alphonso McKinney had his best game of the playoffs last night, and I just thought it was kind of cool the way that group picked everybody else up, and I love that Kerr stuck with them out of that timeout. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did notice it, and I thought it was, you know, it was a little bit time and score. It was a little bit being up 2-0, I think, as well. Like, you take an opportunity to run those guys out there a little bit longer just because of where you are. Now, if it's a 1-1 series, does he do that? Maybe not.
Right.
If it's a, you know, I mean, if it's a game six, does he do that? And you're trying to actually close out and end the series? Probably not. But I think that's what coaching is. Coaching is putting your players in the best position to succeed, in the best position to build confidence. So I think knowing that there was some breathing room in that game at that point, he felt that was his chance to where if the Blazers scored, you know, a couple of baskets in short order, all right, boom, you get those guys out of the game, you still have a little bit of a lead, and you try and win it down the stretch. But so I think that's sharp coaching on his part. It's picking the right moment to ride with a group where even if they don't continue to come through, you're still going to be in an okay position to win the game.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Hey, JD, man, I really appreciate you coming on. And I know you'll be on what, Warriors? When do we got Warriors World coming up?
Warriors this week, Saturday. I'm going to be, I think, on every show tomorrow.
Okay.
6:30, I think 11:30, 2:30, and then I'll be on Warriors Live and Warriors Wrap-Up before and after the game with Guru and Steiny. So it'll be a little intermittent JD peppered in tomorrow. But, yeah, good stuff, my man. And, yeah, maybe even check in with you guys late night. We'll make it a full day after the ball game.
Let's do it, man. Who doesn't need a little more JD in their life, right?
Well, at least till tomorrow. If this series ends tomorrow, that's it. Forget it. Like, I'm taking like 10 days off.
Oh, good for you, man. Well, hey, seriously, on behalf of everybody, having boots on the ground there is invaluable for all of us, all the insight you provide. And of course, you know, you're always great. So we appreciate your time, brother. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, my man.
All right. Good stuff. John Dickinson up there in
Warriors.
Woo! Thank you. No, that's right. Warriors, baby. Let's go, Wes. No, it's all good. All right. Coming up on the other side, speaking of Warriors, we'll get into a little post-game sound. No, it's all good, baby. And if you want to talk about the game last night, Draymond Green's performance, is it the best Draymond you've ever seen? The way Steve Kerr handled his bench this series, the, you know, that notion of, is this going to make this, maybe have KD say, you know what, I want to come and stay and be a part of this. Look at the way my guys have picked me up. Is this a good thing? We can get into all that. 888-957-9570. We got open phones the rest of the way. We got a little post-game sound coming up on the other side as well. It's Ryan Covey with you. It's Sunday on the game. Warriors!
Draymond Green, the rebound, took it away from Harkless. Dribbles up the floor. On McCollum goes all the way. Hand off in low for Bell. Bell wasn't ready. Back to Draymond, who laid it in.
He went out of bounds, and I believe the Blazers thought he was still out of bounds, but he reestablished, and what a great play between those two bigs.
I don't even know what to say about Draymond. I mean, he was like a wrecking ball out there. He was just destroying everything in his path. The pace that he was generating was incredible, and it just seemed like he never got tired.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
That, of course, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, out of sight last night. Had the triple-dub all wrapped up through three quarters. Warriors setting the tone defensively, coming back from an 18-point deficit and holding the Trailblazers to 33 points in the second half. I ask you simply at 888-957-9570, two questions about Draymond Green. One, is that the best game you've ever seen Draymond Green play? Bar none. You can hit me on the Chilton Autobody text line as well, 95795. And the other question that I have for you, if Draymond Green has the expectation of a max contract. And let's say that the Warriors have to max out Klay and, you know, give KD the super max, and Steph's already on a max contract. Is it up to Bob Myers and up to Joe Lacob to give him that money? Is he a max contract player in your estimation? 888-957-9570. And if you're Draymond, you know, we know he just joined Clutch Sports last year. When it's time to sit down with Bob Myers, hey, yeah, do me a favor. Grab that VHS player and bring in that tape. Yeah, we're going to roll tape from Game 3 up in Portland the other night. And really, let's face it, Draymond has been all world in this postseason. He's been just incredible, setting the tone at both ends. He took it to another level last night. I mean, he really did. And we've been talking so much this postseason about, you know, how he's gotten in shape and the way that he's led this team. And, you know, they needed him to be that emotional leader also against Houston and not going too far down the emotional road to where he's getting teed up and it's taken away from his performance. I think we've seen a very mature Draymond, a very business-like Draymond, and he's taking a lot of pride in what he's doing right now. And I definitely think that getting him the ball on the offensive end and running that offense through him so much with that little handoff and just letting him run the break, he's just such a high IQ player, and he just consistently makes the right decision. That keeps him so engaged. And, you know, if that's what gives you the best version of Draymond Green, I mean, really, he's the most irreplaceable cog in this machine, I feel like. And look, there's no shortage of star power on this Warriors team. And you couldn't replace any one of these top-end players, you know, to the level of production that you could expect to get from them. You know, for example, like, you're not going to go find a point guard better than Steph Curry, especially in this system. You're not going to find a better two-guard than Klay Thompson. You're sure as hell not going to find a better small forward than Kevin Durant. But you can find an adequate replacement to where you can plug him in, and I think this thing still goes, right? But Draymond Green, I'm not so sure if you take Draymond Green off this team, even if they have all that star power, because of what he provides. And, you know, especially when you culminate that with Andre Iguodala's getting up there in years, so they're, you know, probably at least after next year going to lose his defensive prowess. I mean, I don't know that that production is even remotely replaceable. So if Draymond wants the max contract, expects the max contract, if you look at his track record for past services rendered, whatever you want to call it, I think that it definitely merits that kind of consideration. Now, I know you don't go far as a franchise handing out retroactive contracts. I mean, ask the San Francisco Giants about that. But it's unmistakable, like his value and the impact that he's had. And, I mean, last night, that was something special. That was like art last night. And you looked at the body language of the Portland Trailblazers. Dude, he took their soul last night. I mean, he really did. And I know the reports come out that Dame's got the rib injury, and clearly this Blazers team has overachieved to get where they're at, and, you know, they're just up against a better basketball team. Even without Kevin Durant, the Warriors are still head and shoulders a better basketball team. But it's that experience factor, and it's that not, oh, we think we can win this game. No, son. We're going to win this game. And it starts with Draymond, that belief, that championship swagger. And, you know, if you lose Draymond, or, you know, you don't, you know, if you run the risk of, you know, saying, hey, we're not, you know, we don't think you're a max player, and says, okay, well, I want out. Like, can you afford to lose that? I mean, I don't know that, you know, they can really, if they want to keep this championship run going, I don't know that they can necessarily afford to lose any of these guys, especially if it means addition by subtraction for another team. And, you know, let's say, like, you know, Klay went to the Clippers, or Looney to the Rockets. I mean, you know, I'm just throwing some teams out there. Kevin Durant to the Clippers. That would upset the balance of power enough. But, you know, to take any one of these guys away, you know, obviously would, you know, hurt your chances to get back to the NBA Finals. But I think Draymond is the guy that's just the most irreplaceable. So as far as if last night was his greatest playoff game ever, is that Draymond at his very best? Can anybody ever recall a better performance out of Draymond Green? 888-957-9570. Chilton Ottaby text line 95795. 408, of course he's a max. All right. 650, hell yeah, max all day for Draymond. And this is a good one. Another text with 408. You want him on a different team coming at the Doves with that rage? Right? I mean, Draymond with a chip on his shoulder? Danger! If I could quote Mystical. You're welcome, Wes. I know you're a big Mystical fan. He's like, I don't listen to Mystical. But that was a good song, though. Danger was a good song. All right. Let's see. 5-1-0. It's not the best game that we've seen from Draymond. It's the kind of game that we become accustomed to him playing. He's the heartbeat. Fair enough. 7-0-4. If anyone is a max player on the team based on this playoff run, it's Draymond, from leadership to energy to production. And, you know, look, I don't think you need Draymond empty in the chamber for 82 games in the regular season, right? I mean, we know, like, the Golden State Warriors, they keep a little something in the tank, whether you want to call it load management or just understanding what it takes to make that climb all the way to the NBA Finals, right? And nobody knows that better than the Dubs, because they've done it year after year. We're going on, you know, once they close out the Portland Trailblazers, this will be 5 straight trips to the NBA Finals. I mean, let that just bounce around in your head for a second. That's absolutely absurd, okay? So 888-957-9570. Let me know what you think Draymond's best game was. And I agree, 408, coming in with a stat line from Game 7. A lot of people are hitting on that Game 7 game against Cleveland. 47 minutes, 32 points, 15 boards, 9 assists. I understand what you're saying. I've got that on my list too, y'all. A lot of people checking in with Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. Warriors didn't win that game. And I get it. He's just one player, and he wasn't the one making horrible behind-the-back passes, and, you know, he wasn't the one getting boxed out by Kevin Love or the chase down blocked by LeBron. But you also got to remember why they were in that position, because Draymond got suspended earlier in the series, and he felt like he had a little ground to make up. To me, that's his saving grace in history, is that he played so well in that game. A couple other games, let's see, 2015 Game 5 versus Cleveland. He had 16-9-6 and was a plus 23. 2017, last year, a first-round game against Portland, 21 points, 6 boards, 4 dimes, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and was 5 of 8 from 3-point range and a plus 38. That's pretty good. That's a damn good game right there. I mean, let's face it, when you've played in as many playoff games as the Warriors have and Draymond Green has, he's got quite a few. So hard to quibble about which one was better, but I know a little recency bias will have us leaning on last night as well. But, I mean, think about it. They needed every last bit of his production last night. All right, a lot of people want to check in. 888-957-9570. Let's get out to the phones. Eric's in San Francisco. Go ahead, Eric. Lead us off.
Hey, I just want to say Draymond is a max player. He is the gel or the glue for this Warriors team. He's good for at least probably 3-4 more years, so that the Warriors can win it all. Without Draymond, they will just be a bunch of very good shooters, because Draymond is the spirit. Draymond pumps them up, and I think he's really the heart and soul of the Warriors. And hopefully they can get a three-peat.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the call, Eric, and a great way to start. Hard to argue with any of that. And I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a moment here. Just bear with me. Max players around the NBA typically are scorers, okay? And I know that his skill set is specifically suited on this Warriors team to be something very different. He's a unicorn. Let's face it, he has no comp in this league. We tried to do that a couple of weeks ago and come up with the closest thing to Draymond. All we could come up with was great players that exhibit various attributes of Draymond Green. But that's a lot of money when you already have, potentially, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson on max contracts. And we've seen Draymond at times lose his fitness level a little bit. He can be a little cantankerous. November, LA Clippers. I mean, come on, that happened. We can't lose sight of that. So that's all part of Draymond, and I get it. He's the heart and soul. When you hear the Warriors on 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco Radio.com Sports Station. I understand all that. But damn, last night was a compelling case to be made for him. Moose, Fillmore, go ahead. You're on The Game. What's going on, man?
Green has always been my favorite player on this team. Most passionate guy, one of the funnest guys to watch. Last night was just an absolute showdown. The performance he put on the national stage, he showed everybody why he truly is an underrated player. When it comes down to paying the guy, so the way he's playing right now, and not only the way he's playing, the way he's acting right now, he said it after the game. He said, "I saw myself crying more than I was actually putting in the effort in the game." I think that's been since game one against the Rockets, when everybody kind of got caught crying to the refs. Since then, he's just been on an absolute tear, not necessarily dealing with the refs, just dealing with the opposition. and he's truly channeling his emotion into the game only. I think that Draymond is a max player. However, on this team, as much as I love the guy, it's really tough to give your fourth guy a max deal when you got three guys above you getting max money as well. I think the smartest thing for him to do if he wants to stay with this team is take the best deal he can get in an extension this summer rather than waiting till the end of next year, because I think the smart decision is for business side, on the business side of it, is potentially to let him walk, as much as I hate to say that, because giving four different guys, I mean, I know it's not my money. I could care less what Lacob does with his money, but giving four guys max money business-wise, it doesn't usually work for the team.
All right. No, it's a good point, Moose, and that's why that needs to be considered in all this. And let's see, 516 asked, does the NBA salary rule allow the Warriors to pay Steph, Clay, Draymond, and KD the max, even if they want to keep all four, it may not be possible? No, if you want to pay your luxury tax bill, you can, because you have their bird rights. That's just going to be one hefty luxury tax bill. Charlie Emanuel, hang on. In the rest of you, 888-957-9570, is Draymond a max player? And where do you rank this as front of his all-time performances? Our last caller, Moose, hit on this. Draymond Green, we can see at times being very demonstrative with the officials, and sometimes it's to his detriment. Sometimes it fuels his fire, but whining and crying to the officials, to me, that kind of takes away from the task at hand. And I kind of come from the school of you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, and showing up the officials is never like the right way to go about it. In my opinion, even if you feel like you have a strong case to be made. Draymond talked about that, though, last night, and I thought it was noteworthy, kind of the way that he's changed his perception.
You know, I still like to pick and choose my spots, and sometimes I may take a tech, and that's more mindful than just getting a tech. You know, like, sometimes I know, like, all right, we need an energy burst. Maybe I'll take one. But sometimes I'm not mindful, and I'll get a tech, and then that just kind of killed the energy of our team. And so, you know, I've really been focused and locked in on that. And, you know, I realized I had got to a point to where I was doing more crying than playing. And I'm sure it was disgusting to watch, because I felt disgusting playing that way. And I just wanted to, you know, lock back in on the game. I understand that, you know, officials aren't perfect. And, you know, I still have conversations with them now, you know, when they miss a call. But it's a completely different conversation. And, you know, my mom has been really big. My fiance has been really big on just kind of talking to me about that and telling me, you know, to stay locked in on the game. And, you know, I also have some little ones at the house that's enjoying watching me play. I don't necessarily want them to see that. So just try to be more mindful of it.
Wow. That's a mature Draymond Green right there, and I'll tell you, it's also, I mean, let's be real, it's a guy that also knows at some point these discussions about contracts are going to need to be had, but I guess we'll see. And, I don't think there's anything wrong with Draymond playing on the edge. Him with that gigantic chip on his shoulder is how he parlayed being a second-round pick into becoming a defensive player of the year. So there's nothing wrong with that, and guess what? It's pro sports. It's fiery. That's all right. But we all know where that line is. And when you cross it, and yeah, there are good techs and bad techs. I understand that. Sometimes technicals will rev a team up. But I just really admire that Draymond, he's one of those guys that will just, dare I say, keep it real with you about, you know, whether his, you know, his modus operandi, whether or not that's actually a hindrance or something that propels the Warriors to their greatest heights. Because really, let's face it, that's the goal, right? Being the best possible player you can be. And it's about finding that balance. Where are you, you know, the best, whether you're, you know, fiery or staying calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, it's probably somewhere in between. But, you know, berating officials and getting.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.